And we're back. Hello, everybody. It's been a while, and oh my God, this is like very exciting. We're actually back doing a podcast. Talera Talks is back in your ear, and yeah, it's great to be back. Paula, how are you doing?
Hi, Simon. Super excited to be back here talking to all our listeners. We reached our 100th episode back in June, and then we took this little summer break, but now we're back stronger than ever and with exciting news.
We're so European. We had to take our long summer break, and now we're back into it. And we have been working really hard, which is why we have this exciting news. We always talk about all the fun things that we're doing, but I mean, we've been working on this for, it feels like, so long. Paolo, what do we have coming down the line for everybody to look out for?
Right. So everyone knows that we offer business English training with a dash of culture, right? Culture training. And we've been doing that so far through instructor-led training. So we have our great one-on-one sessions, group courses, workshops, webinars. But we also saw that some people were either too busy to take that sort of classes or courses, and other people could not really afford it. So then we thought, all right, let's come up with the right solution. So now what we're launching is self-paced online courses. So you access the platform and you learn on your own. You also get, with your membership, you get still group practice where you have a teacher helping you with your speaking, with your emails. So anyway, I don't want to tell more. People can check, you can check the captions. You have all the information there. But the great news is that we're offering for free until November the 30th. So how exciting is that?
It's very exciting, and it is Talera Tuesday. If you're listening today on Tuesday, it is Talera Tuesday, and this means that it is live now. So you'll see the links in the captions, and we'll tell you more about it at the end today. But as always, everything that we do is about being very, very practical tips, things that you can do right away, right? Something that you can start to use today, not a big, long, theoretical course where you're like, when am I going to use this? It's things that you can start to use right now. So, what we have for today to really kind of celebrate this big kickoff is 7 tips that we're going to be working on about how to use English confidently at work and how we can connect professionally across cultures, right? So that's what we're all about as Talera, is how do we do this? How do we show up to work confidently, and how can you be you in English? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we've worked with, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of high-level clients, sorry, thousands of high-level clients that like, from all over the world. And it's insane how often it comes down to the same themes over and over again. And we've basically compiled the 7 best tips that we have for you to become your best self in English. And we're going to talk about these tips today and give you very clear kind of walking away instructions for you to use. So again, at the end of this session today, you can look in the course links, and you'll be able to see links to all of this. But let's get started. These game changers are huge, and we're going to go through them. Remember, there's 7, so we're going to start with number 1. Paula, what is our number 1 tip for expressing yourself confidently in English?
So number one is keep vocabulary simple and precise. And using clear and simple language, I think it's underrated. A lot of people, especially, this happens to everyone, but especially for non-native English speakers who joined the workplace, and they just want to sound smart. They just want to not only smart, but they want to sound professional. And there's this misconception that professional language is always like these big words and super fancy constructions and structures. And actually, that's not always the case, right? You don't have to use big words to sound smart and or professional, right? And it also takes the pressure off. So knowing, okay, I don't really have to use difficult words. I don't have to use like utilize. I can just say use, right? And that also helps you be more memorable. It helps other people follow you, and it helps you make sure that everyone in the room understands what you're saying. And also be concise. And by concise, we mean try to use as few words as possible while conveying the same message. And I've had some learners, working with some learners from very senior positions that said, oh, but I try to explain all my ideas, and then my team members often tell me that they don't really understand what I'm saying. And it was because oftentimes it was because they were just using these long, long, long structures. And I used to tell them, think, you know, if you had to pay for every word you say, what would be the shortest, clearest, most efficient way to say it?
Yeah, exactly right. Like, we often hear the term word salad being thrown around, and word salad is like a sales guy that comes up and just starts talking all these different words and saying all these big words, and you can't really follow along, and everybody kind of pretends like they understand what this person is talking about, but really it's just a big word salad, right? You don't really know. And what we focus on is communicating effectively. I think it was Warren Buffett who said that, the most important skill there is communication and effective communication. And less is more. Less is really more. So think, yeah, simple and precise. Okay, tip number two is all about practice. Practice regularly. And how do we do this? We engage in professional networking. And if you live in a country that is not, majority English speaking, which is most of our students, find areas where you can immerse yourself, which means you can get into a English speaking environment, whether that be, you know, some type of English networking or English conversation partners, right? It's all about practice, where you put yourself in that position. So as much as you can, engaging in daily English conversations. I mean, I've done things where I've even, you know, pretended like I was a tourist to like speak the other language. You know what I mean? Like, awesome. Just doing these different things to just try to get yourself out there. There's so many English speaking networking events and conferences. You can put these into your calendar so you know, okay, I have a monthly, you know, English speaking event that I go to. There's always like English media, like podcasts, books, movies. And this is that term immersion, right? As much as you can, like, put yourself into an English environment. Paolo, when you're learning a language, what do you like to do to kind of immerse yourself in that language?
So I think it all starts from the bottom with the easiest thing you can do, which is turn all your settings on all your devices to English or to whatever language you're learning. And that is such an easy thing that starts to hack your brain and starts to help you think in that language you're learning. So your computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever you use every day, set that into English in this case. And that's such a very small change that ends up making a difference. The next step would be start watching all the movies in original version. You can add subtitles, that's fine, in English for sure. Start listening to podcasts, right? And that this way you start building up your confidence, but it's all about practice, 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 and immersion. Then if you're too shy to go into a meetup event or a networking event, I would be too shy to do it in German because I don't feel confident enough. Well, we also offer monthly webinars where you can start practicing your English in the chat. No one sees you. It's easy, right? You can start joining forums, Reddit threads. So that way you start building up your confidence. You start picking up on the different phrases that you can use and steal. You can also join, if you end up joining our self-study online courses, we offer monthly practice sessions. And this is such a fun, relaxed way to practice your speaking. There's no judging. Everyone's there to learn, to connect. And then you may have this senior role from India or this developer from Colombia. And it really is a lot of fun. And then once you feel confident enough, then you can start finding, I loved all the tips you said, Simon, about these regular ongoing networking events that you can add to your calendar. But yeah, like don't make it feel scary for you. Just start with what you feel is easy and then build up from there.
Right. So we have, you know, keep the vocabulary simple, practice regularly, and immerse yourself, right? Immerse yourself. And that's your new word for today, if that's a new word for you. Immersion, right? Immerse yourself into this. And now when we get down to kind of the, we're practicing, but now we want to get to the practical things that we can do before we have meetings and presentations, when you're actually about to what we call produce the language, right? So you're going to be in these meetings and presentations. How do you prepare? Well, a good way to start is to always outline your thoughts and ideas before presenting them. So I always tell people, don't, you know, like explain, don't present, which means that, you know, you're not going to go in there and just read off of a big, long list of things that you've typed down. You don't want a script, but you want to be prepared. And that means having your thoughts and ideas outlined. Prepare for questions. And you can do this where you're practicing with a friend or family member. It's always good. And we have a great webinar on presentations. It's always good to have a strong start and a strong ending when you're presenting, because that really boosts your confidence. If you go into a meeting and you have a strong start, you're going to feel confident, more confident speaking in English. What are some good phrases that we can use, Paola, if, you know, we want to chime in, or we want to get our point across in a meeting? What are some good phrases we can use?
Yeah, that's scary. If you're a non-native English speaker, it doesn't matter how good your English is. If the room's full of native English speakers, it is scary. So one great, great tip that I love, and I even use it myself, is to always add on to what someone else is saying. So instead of just coming in and say, well, I think that can be fine, but you have to be very confident to actually say that. But you, what you could do instead is use this phrase, oh, that's a great point. I wonder. And then people understand, oh, they listened to me and now they're adding on to what I said. So they're more likely to actually listen to you and pay attention. Another great phrase, drawing on what this person mentioned. So I could say, oh yeah, and drawing on what Simon mentioned, I also think that this great, da da da. There's also this other phrase that I have heard quite a bit from one of the team members here at Talera is, all right, so to play devil's advocate for a moment, what does that even mean, Simon, to play devil's advocate?
Yeah, so to play devil's advocate is to take the opposite position just to experiment with what could be if this isn't right. So as an example, we'll be having a discussion here and we're talking about meetings and presentations, and we say, yeah, it's always, you know, it's always really, really good to prepare in advance for meetings and discussions, and you really want to write down your thoughts and ideas. And then I could say, well, you know, to play devil's advocate here, you know, for some people, when they write down their thoughts and ideas, they really become reliant on them. And then they use them as too much of a support, like a crutch for them to get through. So they just start reading what they've written down. So this is to play devil's advocate, to kind of take the opposite position. And this is a really helpful phrase to use when you want to bring up a point that's like an opposite that you don't agree fully with, but you want to do it in a way where you're like, hey, I'm just collaborating here. You know, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm just saying, but what if this really doesn't work? Or what if this, you know, really isn't true? And you can do this in a way where it doesn't feel like you're attacking the idea in the room. You're just, hey, I'm just going to play the devil's advocate here. And it's a great, great phrase to use. I don't use it as much as I should. I usually just like say the opposite thing and then probably come across as a little bit rude, but I will use it more. I'll use it more.
Awesome. So we have, that's a great point. I wonder, drawing on what Simon mentioned, and to play devil's advocate. Those are great, great ways to speak up in a meeting. So, but then, as we said, prepare those in advance. And the preparation also means practice them at work and practice them out loud, sorry, at home, and say them out loud so that you feel confident and your voice sounds right to you when you use these phrases. So that was tip three, prepare for meetings and presentations, right? Prepare in advance. There's this other great, great tip, number four, that is about active listening. What do we even mean with that, Simon?
Yeah, active listening is a thing that I think most people think they do, but actually don't do, right? So when we're active listening, you know, let me back up. What most people do when they're in a conversation is they wait for their turn to talk, right? So when we think of what does listening mean, it means actually sitting there, taking in, fully being aware of what the person is saying and why they're saying it, trying to understand that, and then using that to create an idea or a thought or a point that you have that then you would bring into the conversation. But what most people do is they'll say something and then they'll think, oh yeah, I also wanted to say this other thing. And then while the person is talking, they'll just rehearse the thing that they're going to say. And then they just, you know, say it. So you're really not actually having a conversation. What you're doing is just, you know, both speaking at each other. Active listening is really powerful because as the speaker, if someone is actively listening to me, I can actually feel that. I can feel that if I'm having a conversation and someone is truly listening to what I say. Now, how do we do this, right? Because it is something, it's a practice that we have to do. We can actually use phrases that help us more actively listen. And we can do this through clarifying questions. Paolo, what are some clarifying questions that we can use to make sure that we are fully understanding the speaker?
Right. And for this, I wanted to quickly point out that as a non-native English speaker, you talked about rehearsing the answer. I think that happens all the time. It happens all the time to me. It happened to me when I lived in France, where my French was okay, but it was not good enough to communicate with native English speakers, right? So then I would start thinking about the structure, the words that I needed, and the kind of like the even the ideas and how I would express them. And one great way to, I guess, advocate for or like truly support active listening as a non-native English speaker is that you can actually steal vocabulary and sentence structures from the person you're listening to. So then you can listen to the words they say and the structures they use and then use them to feed that back to them. So let's say you're listening, there's something you don't fully understand, and here are some clarifying questions that you can use to make sure that you actually understand. You can say, oh, can you please elaborate on that? That's one way to tell them, tell me more. Tell me a little bit more about it. Can you please elaborate on that? Can you give an example? I love this one because sometimes people understand your ideas much better when they just give an example instead of trying to explain it in a more abstract way. So can you give an example? And also you can use, what exactly do you mean by, and then you add in the word, the term, whatever you didn't fully understand. But then we also talked, that is if we want to clarify. But when it comes to making sure that you understood and also showing that you actually understood, we can paraphrase. What is that, Simon? What is to paraphrase?
Yeah, so to paraphrase is basically to regurgitate the information in your own words. Regurgitate, that's a great new word, which means basically to like bring it back up, right? It is kind of gross, actually. But to basically rephrase the information in your own way. So I would say something like, okay, so what I'm understanding from what you're saying, Paola, is that using these clarifying questions is really helpful because, you know, we can use that as a kind of support for ourselves to get the other person to kind of bring more information that will help us understand more. Okay, so what did I do? I kind of repeated Paola's point back to her, but in my own words. And this is huge for what's called comprehension, which is fully understanding, right? When we repeat something back, we're actually saying the words, we're getting a deeper understanding of that topic. And this is really helpful because, similar to what Paula said, you can kind of steal some of the vocabulary of what that person was talking about, and you can paraphrase it back to them. You can say it back to them. So some phrases to use to paraphrase would be, okay, so what I'm understanding from your point is X, Y, and Z. Or you can say, so in essence, you mean that, and in essence means like, you know, all in one, right? Like in a nutshell. As well, if you're like maybe collaborating, you can say, okay, so let me echo that back to you, right? Let me bounce that back to you.
Nice one.
And that's a good one to where maybe you're collaborating and maybe you understand, but maybe if you don't think the idea is very good, or if you think that, you know, this person maybe isn't totally aware of how this idea will come across, you can say, okay, let me echo that back to you. Let's bounce this idea around. And you're confirming it through your talking. And it's a great way to make sure that you fully understand. So active listening is huge. Again, most people say they do it, but most people don't do it. And you can definitely tell when you come across an active listener because they're fully present with you when you're having a conversation.
And it feels okay. So good.
Yeah, it feels so good. If I feel heard, I feel understood. So yeah, this is one of a really great skill that you can improve on. Okay, so we've talked about tip one, which is keep vocabulary simple and precise. We talked about tip two, which is practicing regularly and immersion, right? Always focusing on immersion. Tip three was preparing for the meetings. And then tip four was active listening. So we have these great tips. Now we want to come to one that is a difficult one for people to get across. And that is embracing mistakes, right? Embracing mistakes. And often when we talk with people, confidence is the biggest thing that's holding people back, or lack of confidence is holding people back. And when we make mistakes, sometimes that just hurts our confidence to where we don't want to speak English anymore. Paola, why is this kind of a backwards way of thinking?
Yeah, so I think the origin of this comes from, one, the fact that when we're adults, we pretty much know everything that we do every day, right? Like, you know how to, if you know how to drive, then that was, you probably learned many years ago. Or if you know how to speak, you probably learned many years ago. If you know how to cook, then you probably learned, you know, many years ago. So we're not used to making mistakes so much as adults. So that's a little bit of a brain hack that you need to get through. That's one. And the other reason I feel it's that when we learn English at school, what our teachers used to focus on was specifically on the mistakes. They didn't care so much about you being an effective communicator. What they cared about is that you used present simple correctly, or that you used the correct preposition, or that you asked a question the right way. While that is important, I feel that is the very, very, very last step in your English learning journey. And what's truly important is that you're able to get your message across. And I feel like that's a bit of a mindset, you know, shift that we have to get used to. And also even understanding that native English speakers make mistakes all the time, really all the time. Like, you learned at school that you need to say there is for simple things, like for singular nouns, and there are for plural. So then you would say there is one person, there are two people. That's correct grammar. And then I go on the streets and I hear all the time, oh, there's a lot of people. It's like, oh, but they're native English speakers. And I was so traumatized at school because I couldn't get that right. So just understanding that native English speakers make mistakes, and that probably many of them don't even notice that you said in instead of on. So truly, yeah, Understanding that it really doesn't matter so much unless you're at the very final stages of your learning journey. And then, of course, like, you need to keep growing and improving, and also seek constructive feedback from colleagues and say, oh, if I make a mistake, can you please let me know? If you feel confident with that, then you can always ask them to, hey, can you help me out if you feel like sometimes I don't say the right thing? But what about accent, Simon? Like, here, it's not really a mistake to have an accent at all, but some people kind of feel like something's wrong with their English. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, this is one of these things that I mean, I love bringing up like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, like,
he's awesome. Have you watched the documentary?
I did watch the documentary, and they talked about it a little bit on this Netflix documentary of that, you know, he was always told when he was trying to get into movies that even his first movie was dubbed over. It was voiced over by a native English speaker because people, or at least people at the time, thought like, oh, this accent is a bad sign. Like, we, you know, it shows that he's a foreigner and this and that. And then as time went on, he tried to do these like accent reduction courses and all these types of things. And then he actually spoke with a famous US politician who was not born in the US, was born in Germany and had a very thick accent. And he told Arnold Schwarzenegger that your accent is your power. Like, it is a benefit to you. It identifies you. It makes you unique, right? And so the goal is not to change your accent. The goal is just to focus on pronunciation and clear expression and clear ideas. If you have an accent, but you speak clearly and you have good pronunciation, people find that unique. They think, wow, like, this is a sign of bravery that, you know, this person has an accent, but they speak English so well. It's like, that's a great sign. It shows that how many people speak a second language? It shows that you are, you know, really standing out. So I think embracing it is a huge one. Not trying to shy away from it, definitely. And going along with that, right? So we have this kind of global idea that we think about for how we're communicating. Tip number six is increasing your cultural intelligence, which I love this because we're mostly now working in a global context, right? If we don't have colleagues that are international, we're working with people or customers or clients who are international. And cultural intelligence is really kind of the new thing that people are thinking about as they're working internationally. What is cultural intelligence, Paola, and why is it important?
Yeah, so it's this type of intelligence or set of skills that helps you navigate different communication styles, collaboration styles. So it's really about, yes, be willing to learn about other cultures, about other communication styles, about other ways to do things and think, but also about being okay not knowing everything. This is another question that I hear from a lot of our learners when we talk about this topic, and we teach them that in this part of the world, people are more indirect, and in this other part of the world, people don't understand time in a linear way, you know, like all these different variables. And they tell me, I work with 100 different countries. How am I supposed to know what each of them expects from me? I thought, well, that's also part of your cultural intelligence. It's about being okay not knowing everything and being okay staying in this gray area, understanding that things are not always black or white, that there's this whole different set of grays and different colors in between. It's having that ability to navigate, to adapt, to understand that it's not about being right or wrong. It's about understanding, oh, this is where it comes from. I understand. And this is how I can adapt to make communication more effective. There's this other concept that I love, 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 that oftentimes we communicate the way we want to communicate because that's how we feel and we want to express how we feel. And it's really not so much about how you want to communicate it. It's about first how the other person is able to understand it and how they want to understand it. So really understand it always from the other person's perspective.
Yeah. It is one of these things, right? Where having that ability is kind of like a secret power. It's like being able to step into an environment that you're not familiar with and still navigate it as if you're comfortable. That's a real, superpower. So great. So increasing cultural intelligence. And now we're at our final tip here. And this is about, you know, kind of what we always say at Telera, which is to keep learning. And that is all about having a growth mindset. You may have heard this term before, growth mindset, but what is it, right? Growth mindset is really about how we view obstacles or challenges, right? When we have a fixed mindset, really, we view kind of challenges or mistakes as a reflection of our inability. They're a reflection of us and they turn us off and we get discouraged. And with a growth mindset, we view, you know, challenges or mistakes as a learning opportunity, right? Everything is a learning opportunity that is helping us grow. And that is, you know, I would say 100% of the time when we have students who have this growth mindset, you'll see incredible increases in their ability to speak, in their confidence. And it's huge. I mean, I see it all the time, right? Paula, tell us a little bit more about this as kind of our final tip. You know, what are some of the things people can do? Like, you know, what are some of the, I guess, the ways that someone can develop this mindset?
Yeah, by the way, that was a beautiful explanation. I loved it.
Thank you.
It was awesome. Right. So then let's say a lot of our learners do have that growth mindset, which is very hard to get to that point. But once you're there, it truly pays off. So, okay, you have that growth mindset. We also hear, yeah, but I'm too busy. I don't even know how to start. And I feel like I get stuck with my English level and I'm still not confident. So there, one thing you can use is find the kind of resources that work for you. And if that is a podcast like this one, then so be it. And if what works for you is reading or playing video games where you communicate with other players from around the world, then go for it. Or if you want to learn online, there's tons of free resources. And we'll share more with you in the captions as well, where you can just learn for free. But what really, really works, and it's worked for me and a lot of our learners, is to allocate specific time daily or weekly for your English learning and practice. And this, you need to prepare it, like you need to plan it in advance and say, okay, you sit down on a Sunday or whenever you have time to think and say, when this week, when am I going to practice my English and how? And then you add it to your calendar and you can think, well, I think that Tuesdays right after lunch, where work is a little bit quieter, I can spend 5 minutes, even if it's just five, I can spend 5 minutes doing X, and you do it. Or every time I drive to the office, then I can listen to this 20-minute podcast episode. Awesome. Do it. But you have to plan it in advance. And there's this concept that I love from Atomic Habits by James Clear that says, you know, that even doing something small counts and helps maintain momentum, right? It helps you keep excited and build a habit. And this is what's called no zero days. So really start small. Is it joining an Instagram account like ours, which you can do as well. So is it an Instagram account that's teaching you new words every day? Let's do it. Make it obvious. That means make it easy for you to do. So you don't, if you have to go to a different city and drive through traffic, then that's going to be very hard. But if you can do it from home, from your computer, then that might be easier for you. Make it attractive. That means have fun doing it. Find what ticks you, find what you find exciting and satisfying, right? Like when you finish, like for example, I love going to these networking events because I actually get to know great people and I'm not shy anymore. So I get to make new friends and just truly make it easy. These tips work really, really well for the people we've worked with and they've worked well for me. What are your tips, Simon? What are your tricks?
Yeah, I think put it in a context that's fun for you, right? Like I watch football games in a different language, because that's, I really like to follow along our, you know, Netflix movies, things like that. You know, right now it's like, I almost don't want to say, but I'm starting to play around with the idea of learning to play piano. So I'm, that's like, for me, it's going to be a very much starting small, right? And like very, very like basic, and try to go, we'll see how it works. But I am taking this kind of principle of like no 0 days, just very small, and seeing how it goes. So, you know, tune in 6 months and we'll see how my piano journey is. But yeah,
awesome.
Again, it's all about growing and learning. It's not about the end goal. It's about growing and learning. So, okay, 7 tips that we went through today. All great tips, keeping vocabulary simple and precise, practicing regularly, right? Immersion. Prepare for meetings and presentations. Use these useful phrases we talked about there. Active listening, right? Be present and use these clarifying questions to make sure that you're actually understanding. Embrace the mistakes, right? The mistakes are all part of it. You want to increase your cultural intelligence, which that means about getting out there. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And then finally, always maintain that growth mindset as much as you can, because it's going to help you get there. So, you know, we always say at Tyler that our goal is not to achieve like perfect English level status for our learners. That's really not what it's about. It's really about communicating thoughts and ideas effectively, right? And doing that and feeling comfortable in who you are in English, right? So all of these tips are what we've seen help learners get there. And we have learners that we've had on our podcast that say, these tips help me get there. So yeah, Paula, if you want to wrap us up, just kind of a little bit about, yeah, what you've seen, how these tips have helped people, and then how, yeah, our exciting upcoming things that we have going on, how that can help people get there.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. I actually, we're wrapping up this this episode with a cheat sheet or a one pager that you can get also from the podcast captions that will link to all the in-depth lessons and resources if you want to expand on any of them. And you can also find ways to work on these tips on the Talea platform. And just briefly, because I know a lot of you are super excited, and we're launching today, September 26th, and we already have a lot of learners who've been trying it and testing it, and everyone's super excited. So what we're doing is we're offering free access to our pro membership until November the 30th. So start learning today. And I know, right? I know, this is so exciting. So what does that mean? What does pro access mean? It means that you get access to all the online courses on the Talea platform. You have cross-cultural communication, you have writing effective emails, delivering impactful presentations, boosting your confidence. We have all these tips. So with that free access, you get access to all those courses. You also get access to your personal dictionary, where you can get translation, definition, the pronunciation. You can get sentences generated based on your role and industry. And you can also practice and learn new words, those words that you added to your dictionary, with custom quizzes that you can create on the fly. And for me, the most exciting aspect of it is that that free access, pro access, gives you also the opportunity to join practice sessions. And those, Alexandra, myself, a few other instructors lead. And they're so much fun, because you get people from Pakistan, India, Colombia, Ukraine, Spain, people in the US who want to improve their communication skills. So it truly is a great networking opportunity. It's a place, a safe place for you to improve your communication skills, to ask questions. And yeah, we're super excited. We're so excited to launch this and to hear your feedback. So ask the next steps, tell your friends, join, try it out. It takes literally 30 seconds. There's no credit card required. So if I were you, I would definitely check it out. And yeah, how exciting is that, Simon?
It's very exciting. Like I said, we've been working on this for a long time, and it's all about helping you communicate effectively and be who you are in English, right? So yeah, check it out. We're going to be back doing the podcast. So we've taken our long European break and now we're going to be back. So keep an eye out for more Talera episodes. And as always, keep learning.
And that's all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed it and remember to subscribe to Talera Talks. We'll be back soon with more.
And visit our website at talera.com for more valuable content on business English. You can also request a free consultation on the best ways for you and your team to improve your communication skills. So have a great day and keep learning.